Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Teacher calls over the intercom, says, "It's not a drill. Everybody go in the corner and be really quiet and still." What do you do?
Stay on the corner and be really quiet and still.
Now show me how you use your bulletproof backpack. Okay. Good job. If a teacher says, "Weston, you don't need your backpack. Let's get in the corner."
I say, "No, I need it. It's bulletproof."
Okay. If the police are outside the door, but the shooter is in your room, and they call out, "Is anybody in there?" What do you do?
I say, "I'm here."
Absolutely not. You don't say a word.
Okay.
If the shooter is in there, you do not say a word. You stay absolutely silent. Okay, you get out of the building. Where do you go? Where do you run?
Outside.
Where outside?
Home.
You run as far away from the school as you can go.
Okay.
Mom will find you.
Gosh, it's chilling, isn't it? It's the voice of an American mother teaching her 5-year-old son what to do if there's an active shooter in his school. Now, the video was shared widely online last week, prompting disbelief and discussions about gun control in the United States. And students, of course, across the US are starting to return to school. And there's a focus on where the next battlefields in America's gun law wars will be. Marion McKeown is US correspondent with the Business Post. She joins me on the line now. Good morning, Marion. That video and the audio we heard there of the mother and son, it's hard to watch and to listen to. Maybe it's a thing that Americans are more used to seeing, but for us it's horrifying, really.
Yeah, you know, Claire, it's a really strange thing, but as you say, here there is a sort of, it's almost baked into the cake here now that back to school, I mean, for most kids it's the new shoes, the new backpack, probably the new uniforms, but there is a dread in America that when children are going back to school, will they be the victims of a school shooting? And it's a very, very real threat. You know, there were 200, goodness, I think 120 school shootings in the past 4 years. That's about 50 a year. And when you take that in two of those years, there was lockdown. You know, all the schools were closed. So that, you know, that's even a below average rate. So there is a chance, unfortunately. We saw it in Uvalde, of course, Sandy Hook, of course, all the other schools as well, Park Elementary, that when school shootings happen, they tend to kill a lot of innocent children and teachers as well. And as you say, that woman, Kathy Walton from Oklahoma, 22-year-old mother of two children, her little boy, Weston, 5 years of age, and she is showing him, he has a bulletproof insert in his backpack. Now, the fact that a 5-year-old child going to kindergarten school has a bulletproof insert in his backpack in itself seems very shocking to us. But there is a trade at the moment in getting bulletproof backpacks for kids, in getting those inserts for children for their jackets, also for their backpacks. And there was another report earlier this week about a mother who made a Kevlar dress for her 5-year-old daughter. Now, you know, you wonder, like, obviously that's going to be of limited help in the situation, and maybe it's to make the children feel safer or so that the parents feel less worried. But as I say, it's a very real part of back to school for American children and their parents.
And we wanted to talk a bit, Marion, about gun control, because it is such a divisive subject. It is, of course, center stage amongst lawmakers and activists. Now, in June, there was a move by President Biden when he signed into law this gun control bill. Will you talk us through that and where we stand with gun control from a legislative point of view?
Sure. This was a bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And by bipartisan, I mean that 15 Republican senators signed onto it. Now, you know, that might seem, given how divisive and polarizing the gun debate is, that might seem like progress. But in fact, at least 4 or 5 of those senators are retiring and not running again. And, you know, a couple like Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collin, they're from moderate states that are pro gun control. So it's really not hugely, it's not as bipartisan as you might think. Personally, I think, and I've spoken to a number of gun control advocates, you know, it's the main thing about this act is that it was passed. It's a bit like the elephant dancing. You know, you don't ask how good it is, how well he dances. It's more the fact he can do it. And I think this applies with this act. There is, the main provisions are, it provides $750 million to states to enforce red flag laws. Now, about 19 states in America currently have red flag laws, and that means that if you're considered by a member of your family or a colleague at work or a friend to be a danger to yourself or potentially your family, they can go to court and get an order to have your gun taken from you so that you'll no longer be able to access or possess a gun. These can be temporary. Sometimes these orders are issued for a couple of months, sometimes a couple of weeks. But it is something that in America, a lot of, you know, we hear a lot about mass shootings, but every day domestic violence incidents end in the deaths of women and children. And these happen largely with men, husbands, partners, whatever, who have guns, and they use them, as I say, to terrorize and kill their families in a lot of cases. So the red flag laws are kind of targeting those sort of people, but also young men, and it really is young men by and large, who seem unstable, who seem angry, who you get a sense shouldn't really have a gun. They're the kind of people that it's targeting as well. But as I say, the law in itself is pretty timid. There were moves to increase the legal age limit for which you could buy an assault weapon from 18 to 21. That didn't go through. There are a couple of other sort of lesser provisions. At the end of the day, Claire, the only thing that's going to stop mass shootings with the scale of devastation if assault weapons are banned.
And the anomaly here is that polling shows that most of the American public are in favour of greater gun control. So are the politicians then playing to the margins?
Well, the politicians and the Supreme Court, because they're both involved in this. Even 59% of Republicans favour more gun control, and they also favour raising the age limit on gun purchases. You know, I was in Wyoming a couple of weeks ago, and I had an interesting conversation with a man, and I said to him, I said, but you can't buy alcohol anywhere in the States until you're 21, yet you can buy an assault weapon at 18. And he said, yes, but we don't want kids getting those two things together. So he was saying, like, better to get guns when they're 18 and get used to them for a couple of years than to, as he put it, buy your gun and your first drink on the same day. And, you know, there is this sort of a weird logic that, you know, you know, it's not in all states. Mostly in the coastal states and in blue states, there states that are run by Democrats, there is a big appetite for more gun control and throughout America. But there are red states like Texas where talk about more gun control is just anathema to them. They just will not hear it. And even there were other TikTok videos released this week about kids going back to school, and they showed 17-year-olds or 7-year-olds, I beg your pardon, being taught how to use guns at gun ranges. Now, you're not going to have 7-year-olds bringing guns to school. It just doesn't make sense. So there is, I think, an absence of logic from this, a lot of this debate. And, of course, then you have the gun lobby, the gun manufacturers, etc. And, as I said, the Supreme Court that struck down a New York law, which, frankly, to me, just seems to be asking for trouble in New York until this summer. Given that you have, 8 million people living in Manhattan alone, it's an island that gets very crowded, very hot, very humid, and temperatures get very frayed there on subways and on the streets. And before New York, you could only carry a gun if you could show special cause. So, for example, if you worked, let's say your job involved transporting large sums of money or whatever, you worked as a security guard, that you needed your gun for your job. Well, the Supreme Court just said, no, that's unconstitutional, with the net result now that everybody in New York can carry guns once they're over the age of 18 anywhere, you know. So that's a real recipe for disaster. If you think of people carrying guns in subways and buses and at baseball games or whatever. And there were another 6 or 7, 8 states, I think, that had similar laws. And because the court said this is unconstitutional, it is presumed now that the same laws in other states are also unconstitutional. They may be challenged, but they won't stand, given what the court has decided.
Okay, so that's likely to be replicated elsewhere, and you'll be allowed to carry a gun without having to say why you're carrying that gun.
Yeah, and in most states you can already do that. I'd say most states have open carry, they have concealed carry. In most states you can carry a gun pretty well in most places you want without any, you know, special permit. But it was, as I say, states like California, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, these states had much stricter gun controls. But now, because the court said it's unconstitutional not to allow people to carry guns wherever they want to, it means now there will be a lot more guns in the street as a result.
And you mentioned California there, and Gavin Newsom, the Californian governor, signed legislation making that state, the first one, which will allow individuals to sue the gun makers and the sellers who violate state law. Now, that's seen as controversial, isn't it, Marion? Explain to us why.
Well, you know, Gavin Newsom did this because what he was trying to do is he was trying to prove a point. When Texas brought in the law that said you cannot get an abortion after 6 weeks in Texas, it was law SB8, I believe it was called. And the way it was enforced was it said that, okay, only private individuals can enforce this law, so you can sue any person. You don't have to be related to them. You don't have to know them. You don't have to have anything to do with them. You can sue any person who is assisted the woman in getting an abortion, whether it's an Uber driver who drives her to a clinic, whether it's the doctor who performs the abortion, whether it's the assistant or receptionist who checks her in. And so it said in Texas that any of these people can be sued for a minimum of $10,000, and that furthermore, the government will reimburse them for their legal fees if they're successful. So this is what caused absolute chaos in Texas last September. It was blatantly unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court sidestepped it and said that the law was engineered in such a way that it wasn't subject to judicial review. Well, now Gavin Newsom has engineered his gun law in California based directly on that Texas abortion law, and what he wants to do is he wants to have the Supreme Court declare, yes, as we said in the Texas case, this law cannot be subjected to judicial review. It's done in such a way. So what he's saying is that any individual can sue any gun manufacturer or distributor or seller of assault weapons or weapons that are ghost guns or parts if they lead to the killings of people in California. So it, you know, the big difference in this is that the people that would be sued, the gun manufacturers, distributors, etc., have very, very deep pockets. In Texas, they were suing people who ran abortion clinics, which are run pretty much on a shoestring because they don't get any public funding in these places. So, you know, it's a difference between abortion clinics couldn't afford the legal actions. Gun manufacturers can absolutely afford them, and no doubt they will pay for them on the basis that the person with the deepest pockets in laws like this and in civil actions usually wins.
So you don't expect then that what Gavin Newsom did will result in the gun manufacturers taking a more proactive and responsible role?
Not really. I think the reason Gavin Newsom did this, and I think it's a smart move, is he wants to call the Supreme Court's bluff. He wants somebody to appeal his law, and he wants it to go to the Supreme Court, and he wants to see the judges basically explain why it's okay to do that in the case of abortions, but it's not okay to do it in the case of assault weapons.
Marion, thank you very much for your time as always. Marion McKeown there. Thank you, Claire.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.